KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome, or in the spirit of today's show, Jambo, which is a Swahili greeting. And that's really relevant because today we're talking about international service learning, and in particular, a trip my three guests took to Tanzania last summer to learn and serve internationally. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. My guests today are some really special people. Dr. Richard Barrett, a retired faculty member and a person we affectionately refer to around here as the father of service learning at Fresno State. Dr. Jess Thirkelson, a professor in media, communication, and journalism, a service learning star in his own right, and Fresno State graduate and two-time international service learning veteran, Jason Oh. Jambo, and to you gentlemen, and thanks for being here today.
Chris, it's really good to be with you.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Jambo!
Rich, let's start with you. You were probably the first person at Fresno State to ever do international service learning. You led a couple of groups to South Africa way back in, 2002, 2003? Is that about right?
Well, Chris, we actually took students from Fresno State in 2003, and we did it either 2 or 3 years in a row till the exchange rate became too costly for us students to go to South Africa.
How did those trips shape your belief in the power of international service learning?
Well, it was fortunate that in 2002, I went over with a group from San Francisco State University, and I was able to make meaningful contacts with the community in South Africa, the university there, and the community. And so the partnerships were established a year before we took our students. So it was amazing the way we were able to assign students to specific meaningful service in areas of their academic experience. And I think what it did for me, Chris, is it confirmed that there's a broader worldview that may be only available if you travel internationally.
Yeah.
And these students came back with that view, and they see the world through a different lens than they did when they first went over.
Yeah, I remember talking to those students and what a powerful experience it was for them.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't get to go then, but it really shaped my opinion about international service learning, something I had never experienced and didn't experience until much later.
Yeah.
So, Jess, fast forward about a dozen years, you come to Fresno State in spring of 2013 as a brand new faculty member. And not long after you were here, you got involved in service learning. And the next thing you know, you're hopping on a plane with Jason and I, as a matter of fact, to help lead an international service learning trip in Fiji in January 2015. So tell us a little about your discipline area, what you do at Fresno State, but also why did you decide to leap into service learning and international service learning?
Sure. Well, I do documentary storytelling. I teach documentary storytelling across a lot of different kind of mediums. So I do video, photography, audio, writing, anything that, you know, is telling a story of actual events. My professional background is doing documentaries about communities and helping them to tell their own stories. So this is something that I've been interested in for a long time. So I got involved in service learning because I think that it's a vehicle really to get to know a community in a deeper way than maybe just visiting there. You know, by working alongside them and with them, you really can form bonds and confidence within that community that lends itself really well to help tell stories about them and to create stories with them. So, you know, I've been interested in getting more involved in different kinds of communities, not only here in the Central Valley, but, you know, kind of all over the world. So it was really kind of a perfect match, you know, documentary storytelling and service learning.
And you talk about documentary storytelling. I think when I first heard that Jess is a documentarian and a storyteller, and I thought, well, he stands up and tells stories like, you know, Dr. Seuss or something. That's obviously not what we're talking about here. Can you talk about that a little bit more? What do you mean when you talk about a documentary storyteller?
I think a documentary storyteller is someone who is able to take narratives from different communities and share them with a larger community that might not necessarily have access to those stories. So there are many different kinds of diverse communities here in the Central Valley where you can help those different communities document not only the history of where they've come from, but where they are now, how they fit into a larger scheme, and maybe where they want to go. So there's, you know, a strain there, you know, there's a line. And documentary storytelling is basically a way to help others take ownership over their own narratives, to help others understand them a little bit more as people, I think.
Yeah, them telling their story as opposed to some third-party expert.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it's a collaboration almost.
And I know a lot of your work was done in Nepal in that area. You did really extensive work in that area doing documentary storytelling. So this is kind of an extension. International service learning was an extension of that kind of work. And I'm wondering, what was that trip to Fiji like? And what was the academic and service focus of the group you led?
So I've done two trips to Fiji. And the first trip to Fiji was in 2015 that I went. But this was, I think, the second year that Fresno State went. And I was lucky enough to convince five of my media communication and journalism students to come along and to document that story. And we were actually documenting two stories. We were documenting the story of Fresno State students leaving this community and traveling to a completely new and different space, and what was the process for them to understand that change, you know, in their own lives. But then also we were learning more about the community there that we found in the village that we stayed with, and to help document some of the narrative, some of the stories that were happening in that village. So we had two potential documentary stories that we were looking at while we did that. And it was a fantastic experience, I think, for the students that went over there, because they started to think about the skills that we're learning in the class. They were learning about how to use a camera, to use editing. And a lot of times they think about, well, how am I going to use this to get a job? You know, how is what am I learning in the classroom going to help me in the future? And I could see the slow change while we were over there, where they were starting to understand that these were skill sets that they had and were developing that were able to help others. And there was this really amazing kind of paradigm shift where it was, what am I learning in the classroom that is going to be able to help other communities? And that it's amazing that it happened across the world and the other side of the planet. But it could have happened anywhere, but it was a slow process. And they did that, I think, while they were in Fiji. So that was a really welcoming and satisfying change that I saw.
It was more than just them learning how to use a $2,000 high definition video camera.
Sure.
It became the story that they were helping to tell, not just the mechanical actions of filming and interviewing.
Exactly. I think while we're in the classroom, it's about how can I learn this software? How can I learn this equipment? These are skills that are important, obviously, but the tools are always going to be changing. Once they get out in the field and once they are in an environment that's very different from their own, I think that they realized everyone looked at them as the experts. They were the holding the cameras here, and they were the experts, and they were the ones that were moving beyond just these, you know, small equipment skill sets and moving on to a larger one.
And that documentary was eventually aired on PBS, right? The local PBS affiliate.
Yes,
and
it was.
Is there a place that folks can go and view that documentary now?
Yeah, they can see it on demand on Valley PBS's website. If you just search, the name of the documentary is From Fresno to Fiji.
Fresno to Fiji on PBS's website. And we'll post that to our Facebook so listeners can go there and click on it.
And the story, the story follows. It was able to mesh those two narratives, I think, together, which was the narrative of the students going and leaving their own community for a very different one, and also the interaction that they experienced while they're there in the village.
Great. Speaking of that experience, Jason, you were part of that trip with Jess and myself. What was that experience like for you as a student?
Well, Chris, I think that's a very loaded question. I can probably speak here for hours about my trip and my experiences in Fiji. But I would say it was, first and foremost, an exhilarating and exciting trip. It was a humbling experience, and it was a giant learning curve for me personally. I think it was exhilarating because it was the first time for me that I would be going not out of the country, but to a remote area where there wouldn't be any Wi-Fi, where there wouldn't be any car or any Mercedes or any paved roads. So that part was exciting to me. But in hindsight, all the experiences and adventures that I went with, from scuba diving, snorkeling, to riding bareback on a horse on the beach or walking to waterfalls, it was really something that I have never seen before, and it was something I'm really glad to. It was definitely humbling in the sense that, like I said before, there wasn't that great of technology there. However, there was a TV there, and we did watch some soap operas.
Yeah, amazing.
Late at
the
night.
Only TV in the village, and they had soap operas on. Yeah. That's how they learned about American culture.
Right.
It was frightening.
Right. Yeah. But the kids there, they kind of wore the same clothes every day. They didn't eat three meals a day, and they didn't really care about that stuff. They didn't have the best houses. They didn't have all the things, neat gadgets that we have and we crave and that we desperately want in order to satisfy our happiness here. So it was a breath of fresh air to go to a place where material items was not important at all, whether it was the idea of a community and being with your friends and family. The giant thing that I learned was the culture difference from United States anywhere outside the United States, because I feel like the U.S. is a beast in itself in terms of cultural terms, is that we're so used to getting everything now. We're very impatient. We have this insatiable desire to have these material objects, and the way we perceive the world is a lot different. And initially, when we went there, my perspective was that I was going to go to that island and fix things and be this prominent U.S. worker and do my due diligence and save these people. But what really happened was that they really did save me. I learned a lot about myself on that trip, and it was just a really liberating experience, and I'm forever grateful to the people of Nabotini.
And obviously, while you were there in Nabotini, and you talk about the typical tourist things, the horseback riding and the skin diving and all that fun stuff, but really, the experience, that cultural exchange, came in working and living side by side those villagers in Nabotini. And all those other experiences that we get as a typical tourist were really nice, but the focus was that service piece and that working side by side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one misconception that it has was that we'd be doing volunteer work, but what had really happened was that we were working hand in hand with the community, which is really nice because we got to connect on a different level. And we got to appreciate the work that they did for their village and what we did for their village as well.
Yeah. So, Jess, next came this opportunity to do international service learning in Tanzania. And I'm wondering, you know, it's a lot of work. What compelled you to lead this second international service learning course, and why Tanzania?
Well, I think the nice thing about storytelling and documentary storytelling is that you can go anywhere. You can go to any community. You can go to any culture. And there will be a need, I think, or a desire just to kind of tell the stories that you find there. I hadn't spent much time in Tanzania, but it was something that I was incredibly interested in going. The nonprofit organization that we had worked with, Madventurer, had a connection. I think it was like a 10-year connection with a particular village there. And that was something that I was interested in. So, you know, it wasn't so much that I was looking for a place in Tanzania. It was that I was looking for a place that we had access to and built a relationship so that we wouldn't be going there and starting from the ground up. There was a foundation of a working relationship and a trust that Madventurer had built up for the past 10 years. And I think that really contributed to the successes of what we experienced while we were there, is that we needed that relationship.
And this was a smaller group. You had two or three of your students. I think there were 9 students total, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. Is that right?
Yes, there was 2 of my students and I believe 5 others. So there was a total of 7 students,
okay,
3 faculty. So we were 10 in total.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the purpose of your visit obviously was still the same. Those MCJ students were going to work on the video, mm-hmm, and the documentary storytelling. Mm-hmm. But Jason, what was it that you guys were doing there as far as the service projects?
So originally we had plans to finish and renovate a community building where people would have lunches and dinners and where they would hold community events. But due to the weather, when we went in our summer, it was actually their winter time since it's on the opposite side of the equator. It was pouring pretty hard and there was mud everywhere and it was just a giant liability to continue working on construction. So we got rained in and the first day we played with the kids, played some soccer and played some games, and then we had a brainstorm on what to do that would serve dividends to the community after we'd left. So after much brainstorming, we kind of had the idea to, one, teach English in the classrooms, and two, to create a sustainable garden in the Kumasi. One of the issues that we found out after speaking with local leaders was that food security was a big issue in the schools. Because of long, prolonged droughts, crops would be destroyed. Certain kids would not have food to come to the classroom. So they usually starve sometimes when going to classes. So we thought it'd be a nice idea to, again, work hand in hand with the community and the school kids to plow, dig, rake, and plant and water a garden to help feed some other kids.
Great. So Rich, you decided to kind of come out of retirement, so to speak, and help out with this trip. Why? I mean, you paid your own way to go on the trip. You took all that time, you know, sitting on a plane for 20 plus hours, both directions, living in some pretty tough conditions. That's a big commitment for a guy who's leading the joyful life of a retiree.
Well, Chris, it's difficult to capture the experience with just words. I am an adventurer. In fact, some of my friends call me Dr. Experience because I'm always up to try new things. And having been to Africa, to several other countries in Africa previously, the idea of being able to go once again with students to Africa and do meaningful service just excited me. So it was worth whatever discomfort or cost to go ahead and move forward and join this group.
That's great. So Jess, I know one of the features of these international service learning trips has been to have a student leader, and you went out and targeted a couple of students. Can you tell us about that and how then Jason got tagged for that?
Yeah, sure. So with these service learning trips that we conduct here at Fresno State, we try to have students become student leaders, which is basically that they take charge of a lot of the logistics, a lot of the team building, a lot of the relationship building, the reaching out to the communities beforehand, so that they kind of take an ownership over the entire process and the entire experience. So I led with a trip to Fiji that Jason was on. And then when I was offered the opportunity to possibly lead a trip to Tanzania, I personally went out and asked Jason to become a leader again, because he is the epitome of the kind of student that you want on one of these trips. If you can't tell, he's, you know, incredibly enthusiastic. He takes on the opportunities to step out of his comfort zone with energy and zeal. So it's this ingrained attitude within him to just walk down a street with a big smile on his face, and people are just attracted to that, you know. So I think that you want your student leaders to be representing not only your group, but your entire school and your entire culture. And I think Jason does that incredibly well. So this was one of the reasons why I just went to him straight off and said, you know, I think that this is going to be a great opportunity to do this again and to go to a completely new place.
Yeah. And I know Jason teamed up with Maddie Beyer. Shout out to Maddie, who is off in England studying right now,
That's
as
right.
a matter of fact.
That's right.
Another one of the second student leader on that.
Correct. Trip. And Maddie went to Fiji as well. And the third student leader was Sierra Downey, who had also done a bit of study abroad experience. She lived 7 months in Italy.
So Jason, kind of a nice compliment to be singled out, and a faculty member comes and says, hey, I want you to be a student leader with me because you've got those qualities. Obviously, it's a big effort to lead one of these trips. I'm kind of curious why you decided then to do this, to take Jess up on his offer. And how was Tanzania different or similar from your experiences in Fiji?
Well, Jess, for the listeners out there, I'm actually blushing right now. We got these rosy cheeks. But I think compelled is a really good word. I had such a great, great experience with the people, my group, and the village itself in Fiji that I had this travel bug, as that the desire to go out and see the world and to do good service work.
And Jess, real quickly, I'm just curious, did you observe a difference as the faculty member about the teaching and learning experience in Tanzania as opposed to Fiji?
You know, it was two different experiences, two different sets of people, two different environments. But, you know, you had the same challenges of stepping out of your comfort zone. You had the same challenges of sleeping on a floor, eating new food, living 24 hours a day with people that you might not necessarily chosen to live 24 hours a day. But I think that the kinds of lessons that the students were able to kind of take from it were similar.
So it's not so much where, it's the process.
Exactly.
It's important.
Exactly.
So Jess is a pretty renowned photographer, but Rich, you're no slouch yourself when it comes to photography, that's for sure. Can you tell us a little about your passion for photography and how you use those skills during your trip in Tanzania?
Well, my background, Chris, you know, is in psychology and social psychology and child development and family relations. So I'm very interested in people, in capturing the emotions that people experience. I've discovered that wherever I go in the world, the emotional expression from people is the same. May do it in a different language, but their facial expressions, their emotions are the same. So being able to capture with a photograph these candid experiences with children and adults that are available in a service learning experience are pretty valuable.
And as a result of your time in Tanzania, you put together a really wonderful photo exhibit, and it was at the Spectrum Gallery a while back, and now it's featured at the Henry Madden Library here on campus of Fresno State on the second floor that runs through May. Can you tell us a little about that show?
Well, the show is to depict the experience that the students had with the people in Tanzania. It covers their two branches of service, the gardening and the teaching tutoring of English. It highlights the children and the adults that we worked with over there. And then because we did get 2 weekends of excursions, there's some photography of a coffee plantation that we visited. And then there's some wonderful pictures of animals that we saw at a reserve.
In addition to the photo exhibit, certainly, and featuring your wonderful photography, you're also promoting a charitable foundation, Friends for Civic Engagement, that you and your wife, Dwayne, started years back. Can you talk a little about Friends for Civic Engagement?
The purpose of the Friends for Civic Engagement is to fund student projects in communities, both local, regional, international. And we've helped students go to clean up after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. We've helped students do alternative spring breaks here in Fresno. One are just finished over Easter break. And we want students to be engaged in the community because it's such a valuable thing for both the community and the student. And so that's why we started the foundation. And the more money we have in that foundation, the more students we can sponsor to do these kinds of things.
And if somebody wanted more information on the Tanzania exhibit or on Friends for Civic Engagement, how can they get that information?
Well, people who may want to learn more about Friends for Civic Engagement and perhaps even join us in this really valuable work can visit our website, Google Friends for Civic Engagement, Fresno State. You'll go to the website, or they can call the office at the Richter Center, 559-278-7079, and get information.
Great. And we'll post that information on our Facebook page for listeners to be able to go and access. You know, I think this whole idea of international service learning really is a unique and special experience. And Rich, I want to thank you for helping promote this type of experience for all these years and for supporting international service learning and other forms of domestic service, too, through Friends for Civic Engagement. Jess, thanks for being a part of the next generation of service learning superstars. And Jason, thanks for your commitment to serving others and to helping others get the experience and the joy of international service learning for themselves.
Thank you, Chris. It was great being here.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
And that's about it for our time today. Thanks again to my guests, Rich Barrett, Jason Oh, and Jess Thirkelson. And thanks to our listeners for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.